Let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Happy Tuesday, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, live from the Dog Bowl in Berea. Got a lot to get to here today. Both Ray Farmer and Mike Pettin spoke with the media yesterday. We will give you some updates on that. Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com will be with us at 2 o'clock to be live from the owners' meetings in Phoenix. So recap her meetings with Farmer, Pettin, and Jimmy Haslam. At 1:30, Brown senior staff writer Andrew Gribble will be in to talk about his thoughts on what Farmer and Pettin had to say at the owners' meetings. We'll have the cuts from Mike Pettin, trying to get the cuts of Ray Farmer as well. Today we'll talk. Matt Miller released a 7-round mock draft for the Browns, for every team in the NFL, even with all the compensatory picks added. Very thorough. Talk about what he has the Browns doing. We'll get to that as well. But, you know, the first thing I want to start with today is yesterday Jason Lockenfora sent out an article saying that it was possible that Jimmy Haslam would swap his ownership of the Browns with the ownership of the Tennessee Titans, like the NFL is some key party and are just swapping all around. That's not going to happen. A Browns spokesman has said to me that that is 100% false. It's speculation based on his hometown. Jimmy Haslam is committed to the Browns and the city of Cleveland. End of story. So it's not happening.
I read it. Again, my source is Pro Football Talk. I read the article written by Pro Football Talk writers, and I just rolled my eyes at it. And it's one of those things, because I'm an advocate for this building. I'm an advocate for this team because I'm here every day. I see the culture. I see what's happening in front of my eyes. And it's just some outlandish things, one after another, and I don't understand why, you know, someone like Jason Lockenfora, who, you know, has developed himself to a semi-credible source for well-written stories about the NFL, and, you know, and breaks stories like a lot of other analysts do, like Adam Schefter and Ed Werder and guys like that who have their inside lines about factual information. And I just think that I, too, have had no validity to something that he now writes moving forward and linking any source that he gets it from, because I just think it's an absolute, you know, absurd to say that about any organization. And for some reason, he has something out for the Cleveland Browns.
There's something going on there. But again, let me just say, team spokesman I talked to today says that it is 100% false. Jimmy Haslam is committed to the Browns and the city of Cleveland. Speculation is based on the fact that he's from Tennessee, but it is 100% false. Again, I don't think anybody needs to spend any more time on this. It's not happening. It's a fantasy. It's a fantasy land type of a thing. Mike Pettin, Ray Farmer yesterday at the owners' meetings talked to the media, talked about Johnny Manziel. The biggest news that came out of there was another rumor. Remember that Johnny, the reason that Thad Lewis was signed was because Johnny wouldn't be ready. Both saying that they expect him to be out of treatment in time to be at the team's OTAs April the 20th.
And you know what I love about that and that bit of information released by both Ray Farmer and Mike Pettin, and why I think this gives Johnny an opportunity to really get things straight when it comes to football, is because there's not going to be a very large window of time between when he leaves a structured environment, which he's in right now, which is his treatment facility, and joins a structured building here in Berea and gets right back into OTAs. He's going to have a schedule. Yes, they're going to have a free time. He's an adult, but we hope that the tools and skills that he has learned in treatment so fresh in his mind carry over into his life that he will now live here in Cleveland as a part of the Cleveland Browns.
Yes, and again, he is expected to be ready to go there. Ray Farmer talked about the quarterback situation at length, saying, you know, that it kind of went through everybody. Johnny Manziel, he expects him to be back. What the date is, I'll let people know, but the expectation is that he'll be ready to go. He wants to see him in play action and said if he's prepared and demonstrates the things that he needs to demonstrate, then yeah, he should get every opportunity to be the guy.
I love that. And you would hope that coming from a general manager who drafted him 22nd overall, who at times, you know, was an advocate that if Johnny showed enough throughout the season last year that he deserved to be out there. And of course, we saw it. We all knew, Ray, I'm sure, included, that he was not ready after he had the opportunity to prove himself. But that, if he can become the guy that we all think he can become, and as you said time and time again, it would be a great thing. and add to that 2014 draft class for Ray Farmer if Johnny Manziel becomes the quarterback we all think he can be next year.
Talking about Josh McCown, he's never been given the chance to be the full-time guy and play the full season out and do things that way. To that tune, I'd say look at Tampa, played in circumstances, saw him in the shotgun, throw the ball, may not be his best strong suit. When you watch a guy play and they run the ball and give them play-action reads, that may be his strong suit. Now, he mentioned running the football in Johnny Manziel's quote about him was, I look at who we were at the beginning of last year, running the football, giving play-action reads. Two backs in the backfield. We didn't play like that when he played. I think giving those opportunities could present a different opportunity, a different option for his skill set. Ray Farmer wants to run the football and use running to set up the passing game. Does John DeFilippo want to do that? I would imagine if that's how we've gotten to this point. I think that that's what Mike Pettine believes in as well. But look for the Browns to use their big offensive line, to use now their bigger receivers who can block in Hartline and Dwayne Bowe, and to run the football.
No doubt. And I think also, too, when we had the opportunity a few weeks back to talk to John DeFilippo here in the Dog Bowl, you could see the glimmer in his eyes when he talked about the young backs and their ability to run the football. And at the time, we didn't have those big wide receivers, but he was still very excited about what they were going to do behind that offensive line. And if I had to throw a percentage on run pass, I think this team is going to be, you know, 55 to 60 run to pass, which is a great thing, which will, again, pick up where we left off last year with a healthy Alex Mack and help us control a football game, play solid defense, and be methodical offensively. And just to deviate off, to go back to one of your comments about Johnny Manziel, it's neither you or me were advocates of Kyle Shanahan revamping that offense for Johnny Manziel. It looked awkward. It looked forced. You know, that's something he hadn't had reps with in a very long time since he was drafted out of Texas A&M. And you got to figure all combine prep and all pro day prep. He was trying to play the pro game, but yet we put him back in a college style offense.
And it was an offense the team hadn't been either. Listen, the bottom line is Johnny Manziel's got to show a lot. The good news is he's going to be ready there. It sounds like four OTAs April the 20th, which means he'll have the full off season to really get in there, work on his craft, get into John DeFilippo's offense and see what he can do with this team. With Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel, that will be most likely a quarterback competition. One thing Ray Farmer said that stood out to me as well about Connor Shaw, he said, I think a lot of people are missing out on Connor Shaw. Don't lose sight of a young man who went to the last weekend of the regular season with limited reps, took our division rival to the brink of beating them at their place when they were playing for the playoffs. The guy's been a winner throughout his college career. He's been successful. I like Connor Shaw as a guy. I wish that he had maybe a smidge more arm talent, maybe a smidge more size, but in terms of what is inside that guy, if you had 53 guys with the disposition and the makeup of a Connor Shaw, you would have a phenomenal football
team. No doubt,
team.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the head football coach he had to play for at the University of South Carolina and start there for multiple years, Steve Spurrier. You know, the amount of critique, the amount of looks, has made him a competitor, has made him great. And as you said, another inch and a half taller and a little bit stronger arm, and the guy's going to be it probably would have been a first-round draft pick based on what he accomplished in college.
For sure. It's the intangibles that he has that are just off the charts. You can't teach
those
it.
Those are coached over his career, you know, with Steve Spurrier in South Carolina, and he has brought all that here to Cleveland.
All you need to look at with him is how the team rallied around him. This was an undrafted free agent rookie starting the final game on the road against the Baltimore Ravens, and that team played hard for him, and you could hear them talk about him glowing. He got hurt in that game, played through it. Yep. Nobody knew about it. A tough, tough man, Connor Shaw, and hopefully he can take some steps going forward. Talking about Sam Bradford, he said that he's no longer an option because he got traded already. Haven't commented, won't comment on our involvement or lack of involvement with Sam Bradford. Of course, the rumors out there that the Browns offered the 19th overall pick for Sam Bradford. I have to think that if that was the case, that St. Louis would have taken that deal. Now, they say they wanted to get Nick Foles back.
They wanted a quarterback in return.
That's what they said.
Yes.
But
and we'll have Charlie Casserly on, I believe, Thursday
yeah.
to confirm a lot of this information.
Sam Bradford, in the last year of his uber-inflated rookie contract, is making a ton of money.
$14 million, I believe. $13 million.
Right. They're clearly not – they weren't committed to him for the long term because they were shopping him. So why wouldn't you take a first-round pick for him?
I believe, and we'll confirm this on Thursday with Charlie Casserly, I believe it was 19th overall.
Right.
You know, which is, yes, a first-round pick, but I'm sure if 12th would have been on the board, it would have been a done deal.
I don't know. We'll see about that. So that was Sam Bradford. And then, of course, Marcus Mariota. I don't think the Browns are trading up. A lot of talk again that it will be, you know, they want to have their picks. I think they traded up too often last year, if you're going to be honest. I think if Ray Farmer were to go back and look at what he did, you traded up on the Justin Gilbert trade, you traded up to get Johnny Manziel, and you traded up to get Terrence West.
Yeah, and only
one. Violates one of my rules. You never trade up for running back.
It does. And only one contributor out of the three. You know,
right.
You went 0-2 in the first round, and you moved up to get your guy. So you'd expected Ray Farmer to be happy, but the end result is not a good one. And Terrence West, of course, at times didn't seem to be a smart move to move up and get him. But if you love him, he's now going to be a part of the tandem that's
sure.
going to bring back this offense, and that we're going to have that are going to have a heavy load going into this football season based on the comments of Ray Farmer and what we've heard from John DeFilippo.
I mean, you could have a Mack Biner situation with the Crow
Wouldn't
and
hate
West
it.
Running the football.
Wouldn't hate it.
Quite a bit. One more thing, Mike Pettine saying that the team they declined to volunteer for Hard Knocks. It is not their preference to do Hard Knocks. They could be forced to do it, but again, it's not their preference. And part of that is they don't want Johnny to be exposed to all of that. They don't want to expose him to further public scrutiny. What I don't like about how this is written, though, this is like a comment from ESPN.com, the Browns wisely don't want to expose Johnny Manziel and their wayward program to further public scrutiny. I truly believe, and I know people, oh, you're a Kool-Aid drinker, and I polish things from time to time, shine them up real nice, that Hard Knocks might not be good for Johnny, but it would be good for the overall perception of this organization.
But I think it's also, too, going to be a very – if Johnny Manziel is in fact, fully rehabilitated
– but you as a player said you wouldn't want. You think it would be a distraction for a team trying to get the right way.
It would be a distraction, and to close my point is, if he is, in fact, fully rehabilitated – and he is a viable option at quarterback, which means that he and Josh McCown enter training camp, which is when the cameras would be here, in a full-on competition, very similar to the way he entered last year. And Johnny is getting first-team reps, and he's starting preseason games, which will be featured on this TV show. There is no way that Hard Knocks, with the discretion of the Browns and the NFL, that you don't focus on Johnny Manziel, or I'll say this, the starting quarterback of the organization. You know, it being Johnny Manziel, you can't not focus on him. He is the focal point for that show simply because he's the quarterback first, and then, of course, the personality that is Johnny Football.
John
you can't
football.
Avoid it.
Can't. It would be unavoidable. One thing that we talked about yesterday, and we got to give credit to our guy P. Myers Golf, one of our big listeners who always tweets the show, asked us to ask Vic about a Browns-Bills scrimmage.
Yes.
And Vic Carucci...
Loved it.
Loved it. And yesterday, in the afternoon... confirmed that there will, in fact, be a Browns-Bills scrimmage over the course of 3 days, two or three days practice. Let's see. And that they will then – that will lead up to a preseason game between the Bills and the Browns that the Browns and Bills both asked the NFL to have. So these teams – they came together and asked it to happen. So that's what it is.
P. Myers Golf has his crystal ball.
He does. This was 13 hours ago. Vic said the Bills and Browns will scrimmage for 2 days early in training camp at St. John Fisher, then play a preseason game in Cleveland. And that apparently it was the Browns and the Bills who asked the National Football League for this situation to come to be. Now, neither the Bills nor the Browns have volunteered for the Hard Knocks situation. I thought it was going to be, you know, I thought that was made for Hard Knocks. I thought that was going to come about
sure.
because Hard Knocks would be like, okay, yeah, well, you guys mind scrimmaging? But so Pet and Rex Ryan will be going at it for 2 days scrimmage. That'll be fun.
It will be fun. And I have never, at any point, at any training camp that I was a part of, whether in San Diego, San Francisco, Philadelphia, and or Green Bay as well, never was a part of a scrimmage.
Really?
No, never. It was always just, you know.
I would think it's got to be so valuable.
Good on good. It is valuable, but that all being said is, and, you know, the back half of my career in San Diego is with Norv Turner, who's a little bit more of a lackadaisical head coach, doesn't run the type shit that Marty Schottenheimer did and wasn't as hard. Mike Singletary, you know, was a grinder. Didn't, I went to training camp with Mike Singletary that year, got hurt, and ended up in Green Bay that year. So, but I would not be an advocate of a scrimmage. And the reason why is because, you know, you want to rest as much as possible. And when you're in a scrimmage, your competitive juices get flowing. It's very good overall for a young developing team. But if you're a substantial team that's competing to win a championship, I feel starters are going to rest. So a second stringer or a third stringer has an opportunity to play a significant amount of football. But then again, they're going to have to turn around and play that same significant amount of football in the preseason game because you're resting your starters. And you're still not getting a lot out of it other than seeing you against someone else.
But I think that is valuable.
It is valuable.
I remember thinking last year, because Mike Pettine came in and said they didn't have time to put something together last year, but, you know, the Patriots do it every year.
Long story short, you have to go way too hard in a scrimmage, and you want to dog it as much as possible in training camp because of the grind.
But don't you want to see where you're at? Like, especially for a team, let's say for a team that, you know, you have new players and you need them to get opportunities to go against other guys, and you need your defense knows your offense. You want to see, like, where you're at.
How many years had the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning, who never plays in the preseason, go 0-4? And then they go 12-4 in the season. They know where they're at, you know? So I can understand, but I can understand the litmus test that you're trying to create for an organization, you know, on the cusp of something great like the Cleveland Browns, and also to the Bills. You don't think they want to, you know, test drive all their toys now?
Of course.
You know, so I can understand where that comes from, but the preseason itself is a joke. You know, fans are, you know, backed into corners to buy tickets to the game simply because they have to buy those to allow them to buy regular season tickets, which is why everyone shows up mostly. And that's not the high quality of football that they enjoy throughout the season. And it has nothing to do with what happens that first week of the season.
I'd almost rather watch a scrimmage than a preseason game.
I agree.
You're going to get more
in a scrimmage. You get a heck of a lot closer to the game, too.
Because I think that, you know, you have an opportunity to go and you do your red zone stuff against another defense, a team that just doesn't know you as intimately. Because my sense of last year, and last year was really the first training camp, and I'm curious to see what you think about this. But last year was really my first training camp where I was there every single day, every minute of every practice. And as it goes on, it starts off cool and everybody's excited. And I thought what Mike Pettine did was good was he started to create those competitions for the orange jerseys. And I thought that was really smart. So they had something to play for and put something on the line, you know, every day at the end of practice. But to have an opportunity to go against somebody else and really test out what you got going on, I think would be valuable. We'll talk about the scrimmages when we return. We'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. What did you think about what Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine had to say at the owners' meetings? What do you think about the Browns, this Jimmy Haslam story? Is it kind of wild? But again, no chance that it happens, folks. The Browns saying 100% false. 100%. Can't have more than that. Time of the Sword will tell you. Can't have more than 100%. One of my favorite Man Show skits ever. You remember the Man Show when it was Kimmel and Carolla?
Yes.
And Carolla goes down, and he's at spring training with the Dodgers. And he asks him, Lasorda asks him if he could cut the mustard. And he's like, I don't know, but I definitely can cut the cheese. Lasorda doesn't laugh. Then he's like, are you going to come out here? And, you know, Carolla keeps going, I'm going to give it 150%. And he's like, it's only 100%. He's like, well, I'm going to give it 150%. Only 100%. Can't have more than that. Lasorda's getting pissed. It was great. Anyways, the girl Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Fort.